I'd like us to observe a moment of silence for prayer and meditation. Shall we close our eyes and ask God to guide us?
Delegation. Good afternoon to the staff members and all the present here this afternoon. I'm saying all guests because our meetings are open, so anyone can come and sit in there. You can just have the presentation. Thank you so much. I wish to welcome all of you
to this very, very important meeting whereby we will be receiving a briefing from the Department of Water and Sanitation on its fourth quarter expenditure patterns for the 2015-16 accounting period and as well as the first quarter of 2016 and 2017 accounting period. The primary objective in the mandate of the committee, as provided for in the Money Bills Act, is to ascertain whether the spending patterns, I repeat, the spending patterns of the department are in line with voted budgets and tabled strategic plans and annual performance plans. As we engage on the presentations, the committee wishes to gain clarity not only for MPs but also for the taxpayers who wish to see that their taxpayer funds are spent in accordance with the principles of equity, efficiency, and effectiveness as envisioned in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The committee will seek to clearly understand all critical areas of budget spending performance and their service delivery implications for targets contained in the National Development Plan and the medium-term strategic framework. Importantly, through these deliberations, the committee wants to see concrete proposals for the speedy realization of access by all South Africans to clean water and dignified sanitation and the effective and efficient management of our water resources. So with these few words, I really would like to welcome you. Feel free. This is our meeting. Let's give quality input so that this meeting's mission can be accomplished. So thank you very much. You are all welcome. I'm looking forward to a constructive and a meaningful engagement. Thanks. We'll then move on to item number two, which is apologies.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honourable members and guests. Sorry. We've got three apologies for the afternoon. The first one is for Ms. Brandorinsi Kwanyana, second one is for Mr. Kwanko, and the third one is for Mrs. Lowe, who went to the doctor and the doctor hooked her off. Furthermore, we've got two more apologies from the Minister as well as the Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation. Thank you.
Honourable members, these are the apologies. Do we accept the apologies? Accepted. Okay, thank you. Yes, Honourable Dr. Peek.
Sorry, sir, I understand that anybody has the right to give an apology, but we can assist an apology. Is there any reason that the Minister and the Deputy Minister are not available?
Apologies. The Minister for Water and Sanitation cannot attend due to ill health. The Deputy Minister, Mr. Spam Twitter, is attending to meetings in relation to an upcoming steering committee meeting to be held in Cuba this week.
Okay.
then move on to item number 3, whereby we will receive a communication from the Department of Water and Communication. Honorable members, this is important to this presentation, and there are constructively usually engaged from the end of the time. How much do you say? Actually, you can introduce all the members. I don't know the members. I know I'm the new one, yeah?
I think it would request that they introduce themselves.
Chairperson, honorable members, good afternoon. My name is Sisom Kize. I'm the acting director general for the Department of Water and Sanitation. I request that my colleagues do the same, introduce themselves. I'll start on my right here.
Thank you, FTDG. Good afternoon. My name is Shekija Mulato. I'm acting director, stakeholder management within the office of the DG.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Mbaima Nguza. I'm the acting CFO for the main account.
Good morning, members. My name is Mpomo Fokeng. I'm the chief financial officer for water trading.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I'm Marika Schuman. I'm the acting chief director of corporate planning and strategies.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Zandile Mathe. I'm DG Infrastructure in the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Andre Fabo,
Sanitation. Good afternoon, honorable chairperson, honorable members. My name is Anil Singh. I'm the deputy director general for regulation and oversight in the department.
My name is Joy Zaza. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the Office of the Minister.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. My name is Pedro Daba from the Department of Water and Sanitation and Communication.
Thank you very much. Shall we then proceed with the presentation subject? Now that we know you, we can see more at home.
Thank you very much, Chair. How we have structured our presentation, I will start doing an overview or opening remarks in terms of our presentation. Then Marika Sokuman will do the analysis of the non-financial information. Then the two CFOs, Malima Nukuza, will do the main account. And then Pom Fuking will do the trading entity. So I will start with the fourth quarter, then proceed to the first quarter of this financial year.
You may allow your manager to do a presentation, but the position we've taken, accounting officer should know everything. In future, we want you to account on everything. But also, I know we requested for the internal auditor and the chairperson of the audit committee.
Chairperson of the monitoring and not chairperson, head of monitoring and evaluation in the department. Have you brought them? In our letter we specified that we'd like to have these folks.
Marietta is from the monitoring and evaluation, but the DDG or the component is not in the country, it's abroad. We did extend the invitation to the chairperson of the audit committee. I was expecting that we were going to find him here. The head of the risk or internal audit unit, Mr. Christopher, is also traveling up as an interventionist in the department. I know we had a pollution in one of our areas, and this morning he was asked to rush to the scene to make sure that he addressed the situation. So I was also expecting that he was gonna join us. So apology for him not being here. Thank you very much, Chair. I will start with the presentation of the fourth quarter. During this period, as a country we experienced severe drought,
resulting in significant disaster in 8 provinces. As a department, we're to explore drought mitigation measures. Some of the examples include a reprioritization of our budget to the tune of about $102 million to mitigate water shortages in 94 municipalities. Through the drought, we also to release water from the Lesotho Islands Water Project to augment the Vaal River system. During the fourth quarter, we also had challenges with the aging infrastructure, contributing to water losses and affecting water quality. As a result, the department intervened in a number of municipalities to ensure that the affected communities continue to receive water. We also had to implement some measures around the Vaal with regard to the Vaal project pushing emergency intervention amounting to the amount of over $324 million in repairing the wastewater treatment works in the area. The nature of our budget is in such a way that we are dealing with the infrastructure that is sort of aging in a number of times. We have to do a number of interventions to do some repair work in municipalities as well as to the infrastructure that belongs to the department. During the first fourth quarter, we also experienced that in the previous financial year, we have requested a rollover of about $1.6 billion to the National Treasury, and that was sort of not granted, and as a department, we had to reprioritize with our budget to make sure that we pay the best providers for the amount that we asked to be rolled over from the previous financial year. If I look at the first quarter, the drought is sort of continuing. In the KZN area around Richards Bay, we had serious water shortage that were affecting businesses, and as a department, we had to intervene to stabilize the environment to make sure that the business continued operating as well as communities continue to receive water. We also had to release water from the Lesotho Islands to augment the water in the Vaal River system. We are also still continuing with assisting the provinces that are affected by drought by providing the mobile motorized water tendering to augment water supply in the area. In the first quarter, we also had approvals in the past financial year, 2015-16, and we had to use some of the budget for the first quarter to make sure that we take care of those approvals. Honourable members, I'm sure you recall that in the previous financial year 2014-15, the department received a qualified audit opinion, mainly on the commitments and accruals. As a department, we had to strengthen the internal controls to make sure that we address the issues that were raised by the AG. And clearly, we are seeing results. For example, in the past financial year, we, as a department, received an unqualified audit opinion. I will ask Marietta to take us through quickly on the analysis of the department in terms of the non-financial information.
Can we move to the next slide, please? Thank you. Honourable members, we were requested to develop the presentation basically to focus on the areas of non-achievement, but we thought for the first slide maybe just to give you an idea of the overall performance, including the areas where we also performed in terms of percentages. You'll see that in for the fourth quarter for the main account, the overachieved areas represented 21% of the achievement. That is, the overachieved is over 100% achievement. If you look at the legend at the bottom of the slide, achievement for main account was 17%, that is the light green area where we achieved 100%. And then partially achieved, the yellow area, 23%. This is between performance between 50 and 99%. And then in the red areas, there was a non-achievement of 39%, which means it's lower than 50%. In terms of the water trading entity, not achieved was 30%. Overachievement was 17%, and partially achieved was 33%. On the next slide, focus on the areas of non-achievement and partial achievement. For program 1, administration, you'll see that there was a non-achievement of 22% and a partial achievement of 17%, which makes the overall non-achievement 39%. And then for program 2, planning, there was a partial achievement of 17% and a non-achievement of 50%, which makes the non-achievement standing at 67%. Program C, infrastructure, there was a 33% partial achievement and a 47% non-achievement. Overall non-achievement, 80%. And then for program 4, sanitation and water services, partial achievement of 40% and a non-achievement of 20%, which makes it 60% in total. And then for program 5, regulation, there was a partial achievement of 20% and a non-achievement of 40%, making us standing on 60%. Can I have the next slide, please? That is the analysis for the water trading entity, financial management, standing at 50% partial. And then also for the proto CMA, standing at 25% partial achievement and 75% in the rate non-achieved. Honourable members, that's my part of the presentation. It's a very high level presentation. So.
Thank you, Chief. Greetings, honourable members. I'm going to speak through the fourth quarter financial performance. We did provide an annexure with the details for the fourth quarter in case you need more information. But this is at a very high level. We spent 99 billion of the budget. We allocated about 15.2 billion of the budget and spent 99%. We had an unspending of only 189 million. It should be noted that this was an improvement from the previous financial year where we had an underspending of 2 billion. So our underspending reduced from 2 billion in 2014-15 to 189 million in 2015-16. From the underspending of 189 million, we did request a rollover of 77 million, mainly for the infrastructure programs as well as for sanitation in the rural households. Unfortunately, the rollover of 77 million was not approved. It was declined by National Treasury. As a result, now we are reprioritizing our budget of 15-17 to cater for the 77 million that was declined. The underspending in terms of our infrastructure grants, on the payments for capital assets, the 109 million, the big amounts were relating to rural infrastructure in the for sanitation, about 48 million, and then for our normal infrastructure grants, there was about 23 million making up that amount, and our municipal water infrastructure grants, another 23 million. That's about making the 109 million that we're seeing there. As the acting DG has alluded, you note that our spending is very high at 99%. I need to highlight that one of the big contributing factors was the drought. We had to reprioritize about 502 million of our 2016 budget just for drought. That expense was not budgeted for. That's why our spending was so high. In terms of the details, for compensation of employees, you note that the underspending was 39 million. Mainly because the department was restructuring last year. So there was a moratorium that was placed in terms of appointing more employees. It has since been lifted. Now you see on the first quarter for 2016-17 that we started spending because most of the posts are being filled now or being advertised. For our goods and services, under spending of 34 million, the bulk amount there was relating to the funded vacant positions for compensation of employees. So all the corresponding expenditure for goods and services that would have been incurred had all the costs been filled. There were therefore there was no money that was spent because there were no people. I've already spoken about the payment for capital assets, which is mainly our infrastructure grants and sanitation. In terms of the programs, in program 1, we had an outspending of 1.8 million. That was for transfers to universities, about 1 million and 800,000 to non-profit organizations. The entire underspending of 1.8 million was because of outstanding documents from both the universities and the NPOs, and that's why we couldn't do the transfers last year. In program 2, the underspending was 15.6 million. About 7 million of that was coming from compensation of employees because of the moratorium that was placed on appointment of new employees. And the balance of the amount, about 3 million and 7 million, was also for the normal goods and services that would have been spent had all the posts been filled. Program 3, that's where the bulk of the underspending is still in our infrastructure. Our underspending there is 107 million. That's where we 77 million roll over that we requested now for one student coming from this program to cater for our infrastructure invoices that we received late after the end of the year. But sadly, the request for the rollover was not approved by National Treasury. Program 4, which is our sanitation program, the underspending there was 55 million. Of that 55 million, about 50 is on the rural household infrastructure grant. That was also part of the invoice that we asked for a rollover from Treasury, which was not granted. About 5 million was for the water services sector. In Program 5, we had an underspending of 9.2 million. There were two main reasons for the underspending there. One, there was an invoice pertaining to our water use association that was being disputed. It was still with our legal department for advice, so we couldn't do the payment. Another one was a transfer to the Water Research Commission that was not made because there were delays in the finalizations of the memorandum of agreement. Next slide, on our grants, this is only the direct grants, the direct transfer, the 5Bs. We got our 2.3 billion from National Treasury. You will see we transferred the whole amount of 2.3 billion, but the amount that was spent by the municipalities as of 31 March was only 1 billion. So only 45% was spent by the end of the year. I need to explain that one. Our financial year ends on the 31st of March, but the financial year of the municipalities ends on the 30th of June. You'll see that right there at the bottom, I put some notes to explain that although at the 31st of March, the municipalities had only spent about 10 billion, this figure increased to 1.5 billion for municipal water infrastructure and to 293 million for the water services awaiting subsidy because of their financial year end. So the total relating to the 2.3 billion that was spent by the municipalities, if I take into account the portion that was spent outside our financial year end, being April up until June, it ended up being 1.8 billion. It was still a bit of, they still didn't spend the whole amount, but I think the shortfall was about 100 million. I'll hand over to the CFO for WPE to take you through the fourth quarter, and then we'll proceed to the first quarter.
Thank you, Chair and members. Next slide, these are the augmentation budgets where most of our capital project infrastructure are, and the first one being the Olifant River Water Resource Development Project, which is further phase, I think phase 8 to F. In that one, you could see that we spent 92% of our revised budget. Maybe I should also, maybe before I go on, just to remind members that in the year under review, ourselves and Treasury agreed to shift about 1.5 billion that was given to main account, so that main account can be able to settle the water services project expenditure of previous years. And that was done due to the mutual agreement. So the revised budget from 2.5 went to 1.7 billion. Now, to the first one where I was starting is the Olifant River. All those projects, what we are seeing there is that this project that we made, which was to work phase one, we are 92% spending. There was some small money that was not spent there based on the fact that the security was not, for fencing was not completed, and the subsidy training system was not completed. Now, if you look at all the projects, there are about three projects, Zimbu Water Project, Liwa Place, Nwami Twadem, and Lloyd Redact. All of them, they were spent within 100%. And then we have the Outliners, which is Liwa Distribution Mopani, which is 257%, where most of our reallocation of our budget had to go there because of the project now raising in terms of expenditure. And there are those that are below 100%, which I'll try to explain. But the major one out of that is Nandoni Nkami pipeline, which is at 1%, and that is the one that is spending very low. The reason there is that the engineering designs at that time and tender documents were completed. The contractor was appointed in January, and the site and over was completed on the 28th January 2016. However, National Treasury
they had some investigation on it, and they had to let us stop for a while. Then when you look at the rest of the other projects, I mean, the underspending there is due to the delay in the appointment of implementing HSL, was later appointed to planning and finalization of the design and permit, and the geotechnical investigation was also still outstanding. When you look at the raising of Yen William, the underspending was due to the delays in the appointment of environmental control officers and appointment of construction subcontractors. Then the raising of Hazelmere, the contractor was appointed later in the financial year and was also requested to accelerate the project, thus resulting in the adjustment of the budget. Then the death safety rehabilitation program, there are various projects under this program, and which includes VACOP 210, the Calfandale Dam, which are bigger ones that we in LS Drift, and LS Drift. The spending was a result, among others, the damage to the construction equipment, so delivery of material by a supplier, industrial action that lasted for the period of 2 weeks, and that led to the underspending in some of the project under the main safety. That was the picture as the 31st of March. Should I mention the first quarter?
Should we proceed and do the donation for the first quarter?
Honourable members, this will follow the same order as I had with the fourth quarter. The main account performance overachieved 17%, achieved 37%, partially 15%, not achieved 15%, and then no quarterly milestone for fourth quarter. There was about 16% of those indicators that did not have quarterly milestone for quarter four. Then in terms of the water trading entity, not achieved 25%, overachieved 50%, and then a partial achievement of 25%. Then we will see the analysis for each program there. For program 1, administration, there was a non-achievement of 20% and a partial achievement of 10%. For program 2, planning, 8% non-achieved, partial also 8%. For infrastructure, 21% each. For sanitation, there was a 17% under partial achievement. And then for program 5, there was a 26% not achieved and 13% partial achievement. For the water trading entity, the financial management side, there was a 25% partial and 25% not achieved, but the CMA was 100% partially achieved.
On the members, I'm going to take you through the first quarter performance. On the first quarter, we had projected to spend about 1.8 billion of the budget, but we spent about 2 billion. So we spent 105% what was projected on the first quarter. As indicated previously, there was a rollover of 78 million that we had requested for our infrastructure program, as well as for rural households infrastructure, which was not approved. And we had to spend the money for 15-17, which we reprioritized about 77 million to pay for those investments. That's one of the reasons why our spending is so high. Our compensation of employees is improving this year because the moratorium has been applied. We've started advertising a lot of books. Some of them are already installed. We project that by the end of this year, we will spend the entire budget for compensation of employees. Also, one of the contributing factors why you see that we projected about 19 million to spend on the first quarter, we spent about 351. The shortfall of 38 million is actually relating to the outstanding performance bonuses and pay provisions for the 2015 financial year. We are still finalizing the performance reviews for the previous financial year, hence a lot of employees have not been paid. But once that is done, we'll be on time in terms of our general compensation of employees. For our goods and services, you see we projected to spend about 334 million. We spent only 270 million. There's a shortfall of 64 million. There are a couple of reasons for the underspending there, which I think has been catered from the second quarter. One of the reasons is for some office accommodation. The Department of Public Works had issues with their billing. They were not able to invoice us for the first quarter. We only got the invoices on the second quarter. You'll see the 7% in the second quarter, our spending is very high on our accommodation. There's also a lot of professional service providers which were billed with the terms of reference on the first quarter, contributing to the underspending. Some of those will be our internal audit professional service providers. We also have a project for water sector skills occupations framework which commenced now in the second quarter. It was slightly delayed. It didn't commence on the first quarter, hence the underspending there. We also have terms of reference that are being analyzed for projects in regulations and in institutional oversight, like low water pricing, the regulatory model for the review of tariffs and the regrading of water entities, just to name a few. All the terms of reference are being finalized now, so I think this thing started now on the second quarter. On our transfers, you'll see there's an overspending there. We had projected to spend about 192 million on our transfers, but we spent 539 million. We overspent by 47 million. The reason for the overspending, there is a scheduled transfer for Komati River Basin Authority of 31 million that was scheduled to take place on the 7th of July, but it actually took place in June, just a week earlier than what it was scheduled for, and that contributed to the overspending. There's also slightly more employees who resigned and had to be paid the employee social benefits, which were not anticipated on the first quarter, hence we overspent on the transfer on the household. On our capital assets, you'll see we projected to spend 682 million, but we spent 839 million. There's an overspending though of 157 million. We spent 123% of what was projected. The main reason, as we indicated, the rollover of 78 million was not granted, so to pay using the budget for 15-17 for those funds. And also we have a couple of projects from our infrastructure which have moved from schedule 6B to 5B. But the adjustments will be done now during the adjustment budget. So until we are done with the adjustment budget, they have been paid for under capital assets, but it will be corrected after the adjustment budget. One of the contributing factors for overspending on capital assets is for drought. Like the acting DG alluded, we are helping out a lot of provinces in terms of the tankering services. We have made a request to Treasury of 656 million for unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure for drought, because we've already spent about 300 million in the first quarter on drought, and that's why we're spending so high. We are hopeful that if the request for the unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure is granted, then our spending will be on par. Next slide. Okay, I've already gone through the details on this one. Can go to the next slide. On our transfers, for the our 5B transfers for this year, we've budgeted about 4.6 billion. We haven't spent anything as yet, but we are on par. According to the payment schedule, the first payment was scheduled for the 7th of July. So there was nothing that was scheduled for the first quarter because the municipalities don't prefer getting money in line with their financial year. So their financial year starts on the 1st of July, and that's why we do the transfer starting from the 7th of July. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Members, once more. In terms of water trading, the current year's budget, 2.7 billion, we've done some varmints already on one project to see which needed to have money for about 150 million, and we took the money from the project that we saw they're not necessarily moving in the pace that we have allowed them to move in. Also, I'd like to bring to the members that if you look at that column of year to date, in terms of what the cash flow projections that we were planning, and our cash flow projections are about 804 million, and I say out of that 804, the bigger ticket item that is not moving is AMD, but that should not be a percentage state because we're still waiting for the invoice from DCA, which we believe after they complete some of the work that they're still finalizing, they will provide that invoice to us, hence that's the bigger chunk of the underspending for that particular month. But if I have to take every project, again, once more, Olifant River Port
Water Resource Development, all the phase 2A to 2F, all of them are in line with their spending, so because of the cash flow projection. However, the other projects, which therefore we look at planning is not in line with what we are saying. Geotechnical investigation is still ongoing to verify the ground condition. That's one of the reasons. Outstanding investigations influence the completion of the preliminary design, hence there's been a low spending. The blow-up phase, monitor, the geotechnical investigation still ongoing to verify the ground conditions. Delays are due to the outstanding investigation. About 21 million was shifted from this project to fund to see, as we saw that this spending is not improving at the rate we would have liked it to be. The water source project training, Ken Williams, we said there's been a delay on the civil contractor that needs to be sourced and completed. However, the finalization of the bill of qualities through remodeling of structure and 72 million was shifted from this project to go to PC. We say that there's been a re-educating of how we actually advertise it, and I can say currently, as we speak today, the advert has been there, preparations have already been held. Development of the raising of Hazelmere Dam, the contractor is experiencing challenges with the installation of the operational anchors, which resulted in the slow progress on the site. Museum Bobo project, some services were not included in the initial TSP contract. The department engaged at the feasibility stage to execute the scope internally. However, due to the limited resources and the current workload constraints, it was recommended that the services which were not included in the PSP scope of work be again concluded to avoid delays. The variation order of the increased scope of work exceeded the threshold, a new threshold treasury put. Treasury says it spent more than, if the construction job or professional services, more than 15%, you must come and get authorization from them. If the variation order you're doing is even more than, even though it might be less than 50%, but it is more in terms of 20 million, still you have to get the approval from Treasury. That's the new procedure that we are having. And we don't want a delay in the approval by Treasury in terms of the particular project. But then approval we have received. Mukolo Crocodile Riverway Water Maintenance Project, to aid the water supply agreements to be updated, negotiated with major users based on the design capacity. Scheme capacity is under review and likely to be set between 35 and 100 million cubic meters. DWS, Development of Water Sanitation, still to draft the geotechnical investigation and the record of implementation action for the conveyance system. The budget was also reprioritized. AMD, as I've already alluded, the underspending is due to the fact that the department is still waiting for the invoice from GCA, who is our implementing agent on the AMD program. We're still waiting for them. Dam safety rehabilitation program, there are various projects under this program, which includes Nkalimeng Dam, Kalfantin Dam, Rode Opis Dam, Armand Hale Dam, and Mario Postposter Dam. These are but some of the projects that have been looked at. In terms of the underspending, mainly the poor performance by the contractor to deliver required raw quantities. This is hampering progress. Evaluation of bids went sent back forth in terms of re-evaluation to the new national treasury guidelines, and the in-house team experienced challenges during the design process. So those are the...
Thank you very much. We'll, at the end of our presentation, and we will take questions closely.
Thank you for the presentation. Honorable members, I would like us to reflect on this presentation and interrogate the presentation. Honourable Member Manana, Honourable Member Dr. Matope.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation from the Department of Water and Sanitation. Firstly, we are not impressed that majority of the people are here, they are active.
If you can just raise your voice.
I'm saying majority of the people who are amongst us in the department, they are active. Okay. We are not happy about that. It must be just noted. Okay. My question is with regards to the, let me get clarity first. On page 9, where we are talking about 1.8 million or 9 million, was not transferred to the other organs due to the outstanding document. You even mentioned the university. Can you clarify that, what it's all about? And is the situation addressed as of now? The second issue is delays of invoices. And we are saying we are looking for, is it 77 million? So it means those contractors or people who were supplying with the service were not paid over some months. They are not taken to the 30 days payment. Well, with regards to the vacant post, the department should give more details on the funding, on the funded vacancies, for instance, which level these positions are at, how many positions are vacant in the department, how many of these are funded, and how many of these are not funded. The department must clarify for us what is this overspending, overachieved of their targets, because this achieved and unachieved. But if you have an overachieved, is it not, are you not overspending on those things that you're talking about? Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you,
Honourable
Member. We now ask Honourable Member Dr. Madope.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to presenters, the acting DG. I want to echo my colleague's comments. Really, it can't be good that the department has so important key positions that they are acting on. That is the challenge that makes, you know, not to fulfill the mandate. Because you will always be uncertain, you don't know, you know. So we are really not happy as a score that people are acting, and also we see under expenditure in some areas. But we appreciate that the acting DG is here and his entourage. Okay, I want just to check unspent. On program number 3, you are indicating 107.7 million that were not spent due to delays in procurement of services and contractors. I don't know what is this IA. But one, it is not clear, this is not the reason. What is the cause for that delay itself? Why there was a delay in the procurement services. Also, on the issue, maybe you clarify around the issue of the unfilled position. How long has this position not filled? How many they are, those that are funded, and do you also have other posts that are not funded? One is raising this question, Honorable Chair, because this will have a negative impact on the capacity of the department to perform its mandate. And also on those particular posts, we want to check whether does the staff of the department in line with the mandate of the department? Because it's like it's so technical, this department also. We want to check whether also on those vacant posts, unfilled posts, also we are talking to those posts that are in line with the mandate of the department. On slide number 3, there is a challenge around the 50% less expenditure that was indicated. Also, one would like to know what are the implications for not achieving these performance targets in the implementation of the National Development Plan at 9-point plan. What impact does it have if we are not achieving the targets as they have been set? Also, my colleague has asked about overachieved. I'm not sure what is the meaning of it, because you see 17% on slide number 3 also, overachieved, but you see 17%. What is the meaning of overachieved? Does it mean that the time that you made a target, it was lower than 17%? Maybe if we can get a clarity, because we are not really getting an understanding of overachieved, but also less than 25%, but it's overachieved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Member Zwabasa and Honorable Member McLaughlin.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I want to start from your slide 3. If you could explain the pie chart in very simple language. I hear you're saying it's high level. Explain it in simple language and translate those percentages into money. And having translated those into money, then we would know what was over, what is 21% overachieved and 39% not achieved, and so on and so on. And and that goes for the next page as well. When you write these things in this fashion, that's like 4 and it's like 5. Chances are that there could be a whole lot of things hidden that we may not be able to discover. And then you are saying. Consortium 1.886 million was not transferred to other organs. Which are those organs to which this money was not transferred? And what have you done to get those outstanding documents so that you could? Because later you say that you achieved the clean audit. So there is a bit of a contradiction in what you are saying. The same goes for what one member asked about the unfilled posts. Clarify to us whether those were critical posts or were not critical posts, and therefore they remain unfilled. I raised this question, Chairperson, because last year when we met this department, in the presence of the minister, we were informed that this department is a challenge. deficit when it was founded. There were a whole lot of general staff. Yet this department requires highly skilled technical people so that it can perform its function properly. I'm not going to go into the acting, just the technical skills that are required. So, explain to us what type of posts are these that are unfilled up to now, because we had the same story last year, and probably takes back a couple of years. And you must understand why we're asking the question is because you must tell us also about this 10-year bulk water supply program, infrastructure program. We heard about it last year. Where is it today? Because if these posts are not filled, take your 10-year program and throw it out of the window. The next slide 10, you're talking about outstanding bonuses, pay progression, salary increases for senior management. How would that have happened? Because if that happens, then, and you are reporting about the fourth quarter of the outgoing financial year. So, where is that money if it was, those were outstanding payments? Where did that money go? Did you ask for rollovers? Have they been paid now? If Treasury refused to roll over the money, are they not budgeted into the 16-15 financial year? Once again, explain what you mean, the second last bullet in the slide 10, social benefits that could not have been anticipated. And if those social benefits have been paid, do they now translate to overspending? And in which financial year have those been paid now? Is it still 15-16 or 16-17? I want to specifically refer to the Umzimvubu Water Project, Chairperson. This project was spoken about long before, almost all of us here were here in Parliament. That's only Honorable Shoppers Tole was here. That was during the former President Mandela's administration. Former President Begi talked about this project. The current sitting president has spoken about this project almost every time he spoke about water infrastructure. When we paid a visit to the Eastern Cape last year, we were told that this project suffers the delay because of the environmental impact assessment and all that kind of stuff. Tell us where that is now. And somebody said that among the officials who were there,
that the full implementation is now deferred to 2023 or something like that, if members would recall. So why is this? And the people of the Eastern Cape don't have water. But I forget the town, that little town which has water. Abantu don't have water. At least not very aware of. Things might have changed since the years we were there. So explain to us this Umzibo Circle. Because it worries that there's this huge river running across that part of the Eastern Cape. And I'm saying it's 21 years since this thing, at least almost 21 years since this project was spoken about. And nothing has happened. Or very little has happened. And I would imagine every year there is a budget for this Jefferson. But this budget keeps on not being spent and so on and so forth. So. Now, on slide 14, second bullet, that geotechnical investigation, which is still outstanding. When are we going to have it completed? And the other part, that's 2, 4, 5, National Treasury gave you instruction to suspend that work on site. Why? So, Jefferson, I'd like you to convince us that your clean audit that you say you achieved, tell the story that you have used your budget, understandably, in a number of areas as you say. And I see that you are recording 99%, 98%, 97%, 100% spending in your slide 8. Convince us that the what do you call this thing, Jefferson, the output, what do you call it, versus the money? Impact. Value for money. Convince us that you have achieved that. For now, I'm sitting here, and I suppose I speak for the members, we're not convinced. Thank you, Chairman.
Now, the next one, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You are here. You can hear, the members are really elaborate. This is a public health restoration to get charges on the budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, with all due respect to the delegation that's here with us, I was looking forward to today's meeting. After the last time we had Honourable Nombulu Mokanyani here himself, who gave us certain assurances. And I was looking forward to coming today to convince us that what he assured us the last time had never happened. I have no idea what the reason for her illness is, but I'm not convinced. I suspect that she may have a problem with her vision, perhaps she couldn't see herself at the meeting. However, I have a problem because the delegation that comes here, with all due respect to them, are doing a job they're expected to do. And they're doing it to the best of their ability. With the exception of Mr. Mofokeng, everybody here is either in an acting capacity or a deputy capacity, so there's nobody here at the level who should be here to be able to produce the kind of presentations we need and to explain them to us. That's my suspicion. So I have no problem with those who are here, but I just wonder they shouldn't be here because there should be others to hear in their place. The acting DG told us that the department was intervening in municipalities. That rang alarm bells with me. Why is your department intervening in municipalities? Municipalities all fall under provinces. Wasn't the provincial departments able to intervene in the municipalities and do what they're supposed to do? Why is it the national department now has to go and intervene in the municipal sphere? That's deeply concerning to me, because it means now we've got a gap. There's a sphere of government that just isn't performing in this picture, and that worries me. You mentioned the VAR wastewater treatment works, that you have to go and intervene and spend money there. 10 years ago, I attended a meeting with the province in Gauteng, where they explained to us about the VAR, what they called the Sedibeng Regional Sewerage Scheme, of which this is part. And they explained to us why it had to be done and what the implications were of not fixing it. And at that stage, there was a 10 billion rand budget attached to it. But 10 years later, and we still haven't done it. And I'd like to know, I don't see anything in the paperwork. It perhaps forms part of a grant somewhere, but it's just not mentioned. That particular thing, Madam Chair, is holding up all development in the south of Gauteng. Gauteng is the most populated area of the country. All development in the south of Gauteng, south of Johannesburg, is held up. It's ground to a halt. You cannot get permission to build a hotel, build a mall, do any block of flats because there's no sewage capacity. It is overflowing into the Vaal River, as you well know, and it's because this particular thing has just not happened. And it's a major concern, because how can we as a nation just block a major part of our economy from happening because of a basic thing like sanitation and the provision of water? I know we're a water-scarce country, we have to look after our water resources, but we have to do it in such a way that we can cope with our needs as well. You say the rollover was requested, not granted. Your budget was in fact reduced in the previous year by 700 million rand because you couldn't spend it, and then you underspent by another 2 billion. This is just not acceptable. And I'm not blaming the people sitting here, I'm really not. But I just don't understand the reason why we can't achieve the things we need to achieve. Madam Chair, water is the most important feature of life. No life on this planet can exist without water. No people can exist without water. And for there to be in this day and age, in the 21st century, still people who have to walk 300, 400 meters with a bucket every day, have a few drops of water under the tap, takes 20 minutes to fill your bucket, and then you walk back again. It should be happening. I get frustrated and I get upset by it, but I don't need to carry on and on about it. It's just, it has to happen. It really has to happen. So you said that there were 24 difficulties are qualified, but we don't have anything further than that. I notice that perhaps the next time the Auditor General produces an audit report, there will be some good news. Water Department currently has a budget of 15.2 billion rand. It's the 13th largest department out of the 40 that we have. 7.7 billion of that is for infrastructure development. I would really like to see that being used for the development of infrastructure, because it's all you need. If I refer to your report on the fourth quarter and the slide three, I too have a problem with these slides. To me, you either achieve or you don't achieve. There's no partial achievement. You can't sort of put a bit of a target, I want to be pregnant and have you partially pregnant. It doesn't happen. You either are or you aren't. And it's the same thing here. You either achieve your target or you don't. So as far as I'm concerned, on the main account you didn't achieve 62%, and on the water drainage account you didn't achieve 83%. That's terrifying in a department that should be amongst the top achievers. If I can just ask, I don't really understand the tables you've given us on 4 and 5. Because down the side, we've got from 0 to minus 100%, and then in the columns we've got minus 17 and minus 22, which apparently adds up to the same thing. Not one. There's no achievement here at all. It's all no achievement as far as we achieved. In other words, no achievement. The same in this one. Suddenly, minus 100 is the same as minus 50. I don't know why the minuses. Maybe they shouldn't be there. But I don't understand what we're being told here. Perhaps you could explain it a little better to us. Because the graph itself doesn't seem to make sense to me. Areas of over and under expenditure, slide 9. 1.8 million not transferred to other organs due to outstanding documents. Universities, what is your department doing funding in university? Just explain that to me. What are you paying universities to do? Or why are universities linked to you to get money? Surely your department is there to provide water and sanitation. I'm not understanding why we're paying money to universities and 1.8 million, if it is 1.8 million and not 1.8, whatever the case may be, and NPOs. Just please explain what's going on there. Unspent 15.629 million as a result of unfilled funded vacant positions. Now you say this is as a result of a moratorium, but if you've got the money on your budget and you have unfulfilled critical positions, surely you have to fund them. And then you also say part of the reason for spending, as Honourable Kabaza mentioned, is bonuses, updating of pay rises. Something doesn't add up to me. You know, you can't say we haven't got, if you did have all the people, then you'd be overspending. So you haven't spent the money because you don't have the staff, but also because you haven't paid them enough. I'm not quite sure what is meant by this. Unspent 107 million due to delays in procurement of services and contractors by IAs. You know, these implementing agents are impressed. Every time we have a meeting, the department who comes here has a problem with the implementing agent. I don't know what your departmental experience is with implementing agents, but perhaps that's where a lot of the problem lies. Because other departments have the same thing. There's implementing agents all over the place who, the happy men in the middle, who never have to seem to account to anybody, and they get the blame for everything. But I wonder, what's going on? Why are we using implementing agents who just can't perform? There must be a reason for that. Procurement of services, I know we have all sorts of problems with that as well. Even the procurement features and things we have these days don't seem to solve the problem. Now it's the finalization of the memorandum of agreement. This is the WRC due to delays. Please just unpack that one a little bit for me. You know, as a lawyer, I get upset when I see that there are problems because the contract wasn't signed or the clauses in the contract weren't satisfied. Surely people meet and discuss these things. That's why you have consultations and discussions. Sort them out. Get it fixed. You can't carry on and on and on forever. Oh, there's a problem with the contract. I don't understand. If you explain it to me a little more, I want to understand it. But yeah, I have many such things, but I don't want to sort of belabor the point. I think I've made my main points. I just have a good stint at the first quarter one. I have the same problems again with the pie chart and the graphs there. I just wanted to know, in the overspending that you've done up to now, total 105%. That 5% is a substantial chunk of money. How's it funded? Where have you got that 5% from? Because if you don't overspend, you've got to get the money from somewhere. So somebody else is now missing this 5% because you've spent it. So just explain to me how you funded that. Water infrastructure, I see you overspent by 32% already. That bothers me a little because while I'm very much in favor of water infrastructure, it's highly necessary. Why have we gone over 232% already? It wouldn't sound reasonable. I understand there was some explanation here, but it didn't quite make sense. Okay, let's see one there. Okay, your explanations on the provincial and municipal conditional grants, I do understand. I think at some stage we need to align municipal and national budgets so that they can talk to each other, because we always have this gap between the two. In the letter that you sent by the department, or our committee at least, one of the things we asked for was the service delivery implications from the slow expenditure and implications for the targets in the National Development Plan, and also the trend of underperforming provincial and municipal conditional grants sponsored by the department. What I'd like to know is, do you actually have some means of monitoring what you transfer? When you transfer money to a municipality, do you go and check, especially to make sure that money is being utilized for what is being utilized, and are they actually doing the right thing with the money? Are we getting value for money for what they are doing there? I know what it's like in municipalities. They get short funds and they get a grant and they spend the grant as paying their debts quickly and settling your salaries and whatever else, and it doesn't actually achieve the purpose it's intended for. It happens with many grants. It's supposed to be ring-fenced, but it doesn't always happen, and then the Auditor General picks it up and you get a very long measurement letter from the Auditor General because he doesn't want to make it public knowledge. I would like to know, are you actually monitoring this money? Do you have a team that goes out and checks at province, at municipalities? Is there some kind of function you have to check on this? I'll be there. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, Chairperson, I come from Limpopo. Mwami Dryden is my home. I come from Mwami. And, you know, there was just a function now, Mwami Dryden, and the chief was talking nicely about the stem and all that. But now I am very sad, eh? I am very sad that this department has come and I can't ask questions. Surely, Chairperson, I can't ask questions because I know I will just be conducting a ritual. And I don't like rituals. I think what we should do is to invite the department again when the minister is going to be present. Because we don't have a DG in accounting office. We have many people acting here. And you know, the problems of water, like my colleagues have said, is, people are desperate about water. Especially when it's not raining. At least if it rains, we can put some buckets behind our houses. But it's not raining now, and the department doesn't seem to be equipped to actually assist this country. And as one of my colleagues said, you know, there is nothing that can happen without water. On issues of economic development, nothing. We need every department to assist this country to make sure that we can grow our economy. And this one is one of our hopes. So I'm suggesting, Chairperson, that you invite the department again, making sure that the minister is here, and perhaps even state in the letter that we hope all the posts will have permanent people. Because we can't be talking to people who will not be there maybe tomorrow. It's a waste of time. Also make sure that treasure is here. And the affected provinces, HODs and MCs are here. And the relevant municipalities are here. Under one roof. It can't be business as usual. The president has pleaded with every one of us that let's work in a way that shows some agency. I don't know how many times he must say that. And some people are just relaxed. People are not hearing to the call. We have to do things differently. We can't conduct this committee hearing like other years, like other many times that these things have been done. We are not prepared as this committee to conduct a ritual. This is a ritual. We want to hold government to account. I think we're equal to the task. We should actually also ask PDO to do some research on this department. Maybe there is some big problem that we are not aware of. We should also engage a Human Science Research Council and start South Africa, please list all those people. They must just focus on this department so that we actually can convince our people who need water, like me, that tomorrow will be a better day. As things stand here, You know, it's just because this is not a parliament. If it was parliament where the TV is there, people would be crying now to see that the department is there acting so and so. You can't give us answer. You can't make me better. We need to solve this problem. Nip it in the bud once and for all. If engineers are required, engineers must be hired. We must find a way of dealing with this issue. A chairperson, I'm very depressed. But I'm extremely depressed. I don't want to depress myself any further. I only plead that we call them again, with treasury here, with everybody who can assist us. It can't be all that all of us can are failing to deal with this issue. If we really take it upon ourselves, we want to deal with it, we can. But there must be leadership. If you read the report of the Auditor General, from November to now, they actually articulate one thing, that problems can be solved, departments can be solved, if there's leadership. Leadership. There must be leadership. We can't just talk to the general department. Oh, no, thank you.
The underlying message is the position of the two departments. Now, members are frustrated by the fact that they don't see any trust. The money that they don't see. Honourable Member, did you say TBO or Water Research Commission?
No, Madam, you know all the people who are educated. Madam, you know the form. We pull all our supporters, all of them, even the one that I call is another one, and it helps us.
Know
it all.
Shall we then move on to Honourable Member?
Yes, thank you. I'll be brief. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me add to the disappointment, and maybe that's why they were sent here, because they knew that there's bad news in the department. So, whilst they look really disappointed, clearly it's not them. So, really, what I'm going to say now, I must mention that it's nothing personal against you, and I'm not going to be too critical. Nevertheless, Honourable Chair, it's clear that this department is just failing. It is clear. We travel around the country and we see what's happening out there. So the department is failing. If anybody can tell me why, in a place called Missant, the people get water for half an hour a day. And this has been, as far as I can recall, since January. Half an hour a day they get drinking water. In a place called Jubatina, last week, the residents didn't have water for 10 days because of a new pipeline that burst when they commissioned the line. In a place called Storms River, every time it rains, there's an electric cable that runs under M2 and it shorts and the pump doesn't work, and they didn't have water for plus minus but more than 10 days. That is what's happening in a small area or small municipality like Kokama. That cannot be. And it's gone to the extent that the people just accept it because they get no solution, they get no assistance, and it is just allowed to happen. So if I can leave here this meeting knowing why that is the case, then I will achieve something. Okay, and then just on one of the slides, I just want just clarification here. The financial figures here. Can I just ask, on slide number 13, is that just an error there, or is that right? I see the heading there says for the unended 31st of March. Should that not be for the year? Just a question. Because if I look at those figures, it doesn't look slide number 13. And then if I can just get assistance with the reading of that table. If I start with the annual regional budget, okay, if I go to that Mokwani district municipality, the original budget was 103,000, that's like a million, eh? Yeah. And the revised budget was 191 million, which is the same as the cash flow that was budgeted. Am I right in saying that? That's the way I read it. Because if I go now to the first column, and then if I look at the next column, it says there that the actual cash flow was 493 million, which is 257% of the budget. Is that correct the way I'm reading it? Because if that is so, then it's a substantial overspend. If that's the way I'm reading it, so can I just get clarification on that? And Chairperson, the last question I have is that those where there's percentage spent of 100% and more, specifically in Noisadak and your department, the development of raising middle with them, can you give me an indication if those projects are now complete? The money's finished, but are the projects complete? Those that are 100% and more. Thank you, Chairperson.
If I can be allowed, can I also ask just two questions? With your permission, Honourable Member. Now, my question is, with regards to delays in procurement and contract management, which has affected many of your infrastructure projects, and noting that remedial measures presented to the committee on the 20th of April 2016 to address included the following. One, contract management unit must play an active role in terms of coordinating, drafting, and signing of contracts. Two, quarterly monitoring meetings must be held with service providers and project managers. Three, there will be frequent sessions between components to plan together on the budget and demand planning. My second question is, what has been the progress on this? Actually, my question is, what has been the progress on these measures? It was a commitment by your department, just looking for a progress report with regards to implementation of this. Of this commitment. The second question is, in the presentation, a key area that was missing was the service delivery implications for missed targets in terms of the National Development Plan and the medium-term strategic framework. Kindly outline whether we are in, where we are in terms of the NPC. We will now head over to the acting DG to provide response to the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. We will try to respond to the question also asked. I will invite my colleagues to respond to some of the questions, and I will respond on those ones that they did not touch on. But I think upfront, I need to register this point about the issue of acting and the positions. And we had the permanent DG officially resigned end of June this year. I am at the permanent CFO, so this thing has a ripple effect for someone to lead the organization. It could be the CFO, it could be one of the DDGs here. And I've brought most of the DDGs here. DDG regulation is here, it's on permanent appointment. DDG infrastructure is here. I did register the point earlier that the DDG for MAE or PMU is not here, she's abroad, and the Marietta is acting. But most of the people are on a permanent position here. Obviously, me being appointed as acting DG as a permanent CFO, the chief director in the finance had to come in and act as a CFO. But all the colleagues here, they are familiar with the issues in the department. They've been with the department for quite some time. With the
transferring of the function of sanitation from the Department of Human Services in 2014. Obviously, we became a new department. So there was a need to do a structural review to make sure that the structure is in line with the mandate of the new department, which is called Water and Sanitation. I'm sure you're familiar with the history of the department. At some stage, it was called Water and Forestry, Water and Environment, until the time when the decision was taken to move sanitation to be with, together with water. Obviously, the mandate changed. So then there was a need to place a moratorium while the special review was done during the 2015 financial year. Hence, there was a delay in filling some of the positions. I will come towards the end, but I will start on the other side, maybe from TDG infrastructure, regulation, to respond to the question posed, because they are directly in those components, and my colleague from M&E will clarify the issue of the strategies in the first slide, second slide. But mainly that information is a non-financial information that is linked to the APP. But still will clarify those ones. Okay?
Thank you very much, Acting TG. I'm going to start with the issue of the 107 million unspent due to delays in the appointment of contractors and implementing agent. I think the problem varies depending on the cases, but in most cases, as a department, we do not have control over the procurement processes, like in the case where we have appointed municipalities. Because you remember that some of our grants, like RBIC, there's a portion of RBIC that is directed already at a municipality. And definitely then that money goes to that municipality, and that municipality then becomes the implementing agent. The department therefore does not have a choice in terms of saying that that money does not go or not. It would have been gazetted as it is going to be gazetted at the beginning of the financial year. In terms of now, controlling the procurement process, as I said, we sometimes come across challenges because we can't intervene in cases where the procurement processes are getting delayed. But we do, in some instances, when we are aware in advance that there are challenges, we try and intervene. I mean, in most cases, we find that with implementing agents, when it comes to their procurement processes, our hands are tied. There is also, I must say, very discussion taking place between ourselves and National Treasury in terms of looking at the capacity of each implementing agent and aligning appropriately their capacity with the gazetting framework. In case where we know that that particular implementing agent is able to run on its own, we are then proposing that those ones will then put them under a schedule where we don't have to control their money. But where their performance is not right, we then put it under an indirect schedule. We were trying to do it now in September. My team has advised me that it is going to have serious administrative nightmares. And they were arguing that perhaps let's just get starting at the beginning of next financial year, because to change gazetting during the year is a challenge. I will not deal with the issue of not achieving targets, we'll deal with it again. The other one is the issue of Umzimvubu. I do agree with the Honourable Member that Umzimvubu has been in the pipeline for too long. But I also want to allay the fears of the member that Umzimvubu is indeed coming in line. And it had it not been for, unfortunately, our own laws sometimes they make it difficult for us to move. I was frustrated as the Honourable Member that I had to wait for about 3 months for the variation order, because you can no longer do a variation order internally as a department with exceeds 20 million. So we have, unfortunately, it's a new law. National Treasury says you have to wait and join the queue. So that delay has actually costed us about another 3 months. Ideally, we would have wanted by September to have started with advanced work as we had already prepared. Designs of Labelanga Dam are complete. The EIA was approved last financial year. Labelanga Dam designs are complete. we are moving ahead with the we are going to move ahead with the construction of Itabelana, which will commence next financial year. This financial year, plan was that let's start with the access roads, let's start with the staff houses, so that people can begin to see that tram work is taking place. I am also happy to say that Umzimbubu has, that the variation that has been approved, we are now proceeding. But then again, there is a 3 months delay in terms of our timeframe. In terms of whether it has moved up to 2023, I would be very skeptical knowing how construction works, programs work, to commit. I always say, I can give a projection, but if I don't have a construction works program from a contractor, it becomes very difficult, especially for water, because our program is very much affected by the weather condition. It, like right now, our project, had we been having enough money, though we're moving faster than normal because it's hot. But when it is raining, again, our projects get late because we can't go inside, and especially with them, there's the types of work that we cannot do. But as it has been planned, the project will be executed over 5 years, and I'm very ambitious with the plan that we're trying to put in place, that can it be less than 5 years. Unfortunately, we can't disclose that now, but we're trying to push to say let it at least be less than 5 years for both Lalini and Dabelanga. But we are going to commence in Dabelanga. Lalini Dam is still under time. And the EIA was approved last year. Sidibeng wastewater treatment works, yes, there were delays with Sidibeng wastewater treatment works. And then again, it was a very long and a protracted case between the service provider. Rainwater is our implementing agent. Unfortunately, again, when the matter is in court and you just can't move because the other parties would have put an interdict on the project. But that has since been lifted. We reached an agreement, but that costed us some time again. I must also say that we are working very closely with Rainwater. We drove with the provincial Department of Human Settlement, trying to bring in the water bottles as well, the Joburg water as well, in terms of looking beyond just the city wastewater treatment. There is a team that is working on looking at developing the whole area, say, for today, and Laird Park. The team is supposed to be coming up with a detailed plan that will be presented to an interministerial committee, where we are looking at, can we delay the third phase of Deeping Wastewater Treatment Works in favor of Safer Fontaine. That is part of the reason why that delay on the third phase. But the other phase, as we speak, the contractor is on the site, but they were delayed. Are we monitoring money that we transfer to this implementing agent? I must just say, let me disclose that, because it's going to come out in the AG's report, they have also pulled out that element to say, perhaps we need to be putting more effort in terms of following the money that we transfer to our implementing agent. And there's a thing that we're not doing enough. But I must also commend the SDG. We have started a process with where we are also looking at developing even a system where this money is going to be reinvested at the municipality level, and we are able to check on how the money is spent, and we are able to link up the contract of the implementing agent as well as against the money that has been spent, as well as the projections. I must say it's quite a detailed project. I can come and present it. It's still at a very high level. We have just developed a business case, and we're also looking at procurement system that will make sure that this money is being monitored. But at the moment, there is that concern that we are not doing enough in terms of that. We do, in some instances, not all the time, especially when there are issues, we do send our people to go and check and come back with reports. But the reality, Chairperson, is that we have 670 projects. Yes, around that. We can't check everything. And that's how we have said, let's have then look at beyond just human capability, can we look at systems that can assist us? So there is a high-level business case that is trying to look at how do we then monitor our money post transfer to the implementing agent. And Northern Ducks and Hazel Bear, the money, of course, the report of chair is only limited to a particular time frame. Hazel Bear based on even the original projection, was supposed to have been completed next financial year, 2017 December. Yes, the money was finished for fourth quarter because we had to start the new quarter. But the Hazel Mia, as originally planned, is going to be finished in December 2017. I am experiencing some challenges with the anchors, which is, I think, is a normal construction glitch, especially when it's an old infrastructure, more than 100 years old. The contractor underestimated the amount of anchoring that we needed for the raising of the dam. We experienced about a 2 month delay where we even had to import an expert from UK to come and assist in terms of determining the liability as to who indeed is liable between ourselves and the contractor and how best can we handle the anchor. Because whilst we're raising the dam, we were also a bit skeptical that we also did not destroy the whole thing. So there was a challenge with the waterproofing and the anchoring, the waterproofing of the anchors. But that also is about to be resolved. We are trying to get our bid evaluation committee to assist us to approve that variation order, which is even, I think it's less than 20% of the project. But unfortunately, we had to be very careful in the way we had planned to move. We were supposed to have impounded July 2017. Based on our original plan, had we not been delayed by the 2 months of the entering, we were supposed to have impounded in December. I am still hoping and crossing fingers that we are going to impound by December, which will be an overachievement on the side. I don't know how she will reflect it, because I'm supposed to have impounded in July next year, but then when I impound in December, that's how then the figure changed, that it becomes an overachievement. I don't know how she will capture it, but I'm still hoping that in the near again, we are going to be able to impound earlier than what it was anticipated. The same thing with Notre Dame. Notre Dame, it's the latter part of the scheme. If you remember, the first and the second phase was done by Nelson Mandela at the municipality. We just came in here to assist. It's still under design. I understand that our implementing agent, Amatole, has appointed the contractor, and the scheme is about to commence. My understanding is that Notre Dame will take out approximately 24 months, and I'm hoping that my colleagues will stick to that. But I stand to be corrected, but I think they have already appointed a contractor. Mopani gross overspend. I think we need to understand the background behind the Mopani project. It was an intervention. Unfortunately, living in a developing country, you can't run away from instances where you have to wake up and implement infrastructure because the pressure on the ground provides that you move ahead of your planning. So mobile is one of those where we're caught behind as the department, and we had to find a way together with the municipality and the provincial department of Kokta and the Gompo to say how do we then deal with matter as people of Giani, Mopani around those areas. We're already complaining that there is no water and there was too much uncertainty on the ground. The minister, together with the president, they then assigned a team, then we went in there. And I'm happy to say that about 55 villages that were initially earmarked, and as remember, Madam Chair, this project had not been budgeted for. That's why you see that we then had to reallocate funds from other projects that were not moving in order for us to be able to achieve the target as we had already promised the community. And this is one of the projects that I must say that it is also a very good success, and the feedback that we got from people, they are very happy. It is then a precursor to the Nwamitwa Dam that is going to start, where we are going to start construction next financial year. I'm also happy to mention that on Nwamitwa Dam, that we are meeting with the traditional leaders of the area, and we have communicated to them that we are also going to commence with the diversion of the road to Nwamitwa, as well as the bridge. The design for the diversion of the road, as well as the bridge, which is a precursor to construction of the dam, is going to take place before end of the financial year. We are already receiving the design. By end of November, we are hoping that we'll be having a complete BOQ, thus allowing us to go out on tender so that we are able then to identify a contractor that we are hoping should be able to start with the dam construction by April next financial year. That time, the
the road diversion as well as bridge would have commenced. And then today's in contract management meeting, I'm going to leave that to my colleagues. Let me maybe touch, because my colleague in planning is not here, the issue around Jobetina, Storms River and the other areas. I think the honourable member is right that we are also not aware of such instances. And we are also again sitting in the position that we are sitting in, that we are also not aware. And we are working on it. There is a colleague of ours who is not here, who has been tasked with the responsibility of developing a master plan. Ideally, you would want to see all the systems. Technology is very advanced. In other countries, you can do it now. We would like to see where the systems are down. And unfortunately, we are unable, because I think we took some time to move on it. But the minister has stressed it upon all of us to say this master plan must be completed as soon as possible. There is a plan already, maybe acting DG can touch on it, that we are working on. The challenge that we are having currently is, if you look at those areas, those are not the areas that we are responsible for, because we are at the beginning of the value chain. We are at rivers, we are at dams, we are at bulk distribution systems. When it comes to wholesale infrastructure as well as articulation, it's the other spheres. Our role then changes there. We are no longer the implementer, but then we are the regulator. Yes. Now, the challenge is that even if you are a regulator, you need to have the data and be able to have it at your disposal, so you are able to see whether even the person that you are regulating is indeed doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think it's that leg now to say, okay, as a regulator, let's try, begin to put ourselves with this master plan, because then this master plan will be able to tell us where the systems are down and where the systems are up. But unfortunately, that is not happening, but it is in the plan, and the activity, I'm sure, you can allude to that. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Oh, okay. Well, Nandonisami is the blood pipeline between it takes water from Nandonisami to Egiani. The famous pipeline that were lying there on the ground. Unfortunately, that happened before my time, but I've managed to resuscitate to dust those pipes. We have appointed a contractor. I think you've seen we are on site. But we also experienced delays there. I must say that, I don't know, maybe before my time it did not happen, but when you look at construction contract law, it does look like it is a trend that most of our construction projects, they go through courts. You end up getting used to getting challenged each time there's an award. Now, the reason was delayed because there was an award, and there was a concern that the lowest bidder did not win and they had to stop. That's the reality. Whether it's responsive or not, unfortunately, South African law provides that you hear the other side. Now, when you hear the other side, you hear you're also biting on my problem. And then I have to come and account and score. And score does not understand that I was in court, because one bidder was not happy. But we are running on Nandonisami. As you've seen, it's happening. Yeah, thanks.
Maybe Chairperson, there was a question. I'm told that the site was not clear. Maybe I just had to explain the site. One for whether is the one on the fourth quarter. Just if you can just bring the slide on. Oh, there's no computer. But basically, Chair, the slide, what is trying to say, by the month ending, what is saying the month ending, so it means by the year end, the 31st of March, we had a cash flow, which is simply the budget for the year, because if you look at that cash flow, it's equivalent to the revised budget. It's the same, because we didn't want to say, you know, that when we came here before approbation, we had a 2.5 billion. That was appropriated. But then the budget is 1.7 later, as I said, 1.5 billion. And between ourselves and Treasury, we agreed that the money, they must take it for the main account. Because main account, it was just in the departmental main account, but they reviewed projects on their behalf, which needed to be concluded. So if you look at that cash flow, you look at the actual, Yes, the action is a bit high, and I think my colleague has already alluded. The bigger chunk of it was going to Mopani municipality, the one which is a bit higher. But it must be clear, some of the projects she has alluded, of that one has been completed on the Mopani. But it does not mean everything has been completed. There were certain villages, as she said, which were created. All the rest of the other projects, they're at varying stage, because these are multi-year projects. We budget them for multi-year, and we keep the milestones. So all the milestones, like she was talking about empowerment, should happen for Israel May, might happen in July next year. It's a milestone according to us. But if it happens this year in December, that becomes an issue of what she was saying, an overachievement. So basically, that is what that slide is all about.
In terms of the three slides on the non-financial performance, I think it's a very high-level performance. Correction, there is a very complete spreadsheet with the performance of the department both for quarter four and quarter one. Where you will see, for example, for quarter one, for example, you'll see the annual target is reflected on that report as what is the quarter one milestone. There's also preliminary data which we have recorded, and then after verification, the quarter one actual achievement was also stated together with the analysis that corresponds with the presentation that we did. So what is reflected in the presentation is a summary of what is in this document. In terms of the achievement or non-achievement, I can only talk in terms of non-financial performance is where we report against the annual performance plan. If there's a milestone for, and I'm going to have use a very wild example now, so for example, the milestone for quarter one was 12 rainwater harvesting tanks installed, and the department managed to install 14, it would reflect as an overachievement. If they install less, it will obviously be then a partial achievement, which is then, as I said, a bit from 50 up to 99. I am not in a position to talk about the impact that it will have on the budget, so maybe the financial people can assist me there.
Maybe, Chair, to come in on that one. Not all the targets will always represent fully the budget. And I want to give an example for the members. You'll find that when you look at the annual performance plan, we have various targets in there. They will have their budgets, but then there are expenses, for instance, hiring of a building that we have or whatever. That might not be in a target, and there might not be a performance target on it, but you might be spending on it. So basically, it's not always that everything that we have actually gets reflected from an APP, gets reflected exactly with the budget. But we are linking the budget, all the targets that are there. I think we can try to give specific money that was allocated. How did we fare on it?
Your target to achieve whatever that you want to achieve that year. You spread your targets in terms of quarterly accounting. Am I right? And then you are expected to link the budget to that APP. So you can't then come here and say the money is not linked to the target.
And I'm not saying money is not linked. What I was saying is that if you take the whole budget of the department, there is a portion of the budget that is linking to the target.
Yeah.
But there is a portion of the budget that are not necessarily linked to the budget.
No, but we'll go back and do your stuff here. Because remember, you have predetermined strategic objectives, right? And then from your predetermined strategic objectives, you come up with a plan. And then you link that with your plan. It is you who will then divide two targets, which targets you want to achieve, né? And then spread your targets throughout the year. Then what we are interested in now, to see if you've reached your target for the first quarter. Né? If you have reached your target for the first quarter. What we have not agreed with departments is that they come here and give us targets that they cannot reach. And there you have yourself to blame. Because you go to a staffing upon think, I'll say, after carefully applying your mind, you then say, no, this is what we want to achieve in the first quarter. That's what we're looking at. You don't even, others will see them when we get there. We want to deliver the first quarter. Have you achieved all the targets? And were your targets in terms of your smart planning, were your targets achievable? If not, in future, must make sure that, because if you have not achieved it, that's the issue that will be raised by honorable members. But also in achieving those targets, you can't underspend or overspend. The public finance management does not allow that. So you spend what you have. The National Treasury actually will say, you don't spend money you don't have. You see, those of you who talk about various offenses. Okay, well that's fine. You have a CFO, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, then we have to do those things. Yeah, mm-hmm. When you feel like you see me, I'm not a CFO, but I'm able to talk about it. So you have to know them when you feel like this. Okay, at the end.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm going to respond to some of the questions as it pertains to my portfolio, but also to augment what the acting DG had said. The chairperson, honorable chairperson's question, and I think generally, is whether the department is what the person, honorable members talked about failing. I think that historically, we have to understand that this department has undergone various iterations, etc., various mandates, but currently the team that is dealing with water and sanitation under the leadership of Minister Mokonyane, we have an enormous task to deal with. If you look at the original and the mandate of the department, it is the protection of the water resource and dealing with our entities, the water boards. And then you look at the constitution, you look at mandate of the department, and then you look at local government mandate in terms of services. Historically, local government still continues to deal with services, both sanitation and water and sanitation. In recent times, we have seen, due to the challenges of local government, the minister was at pains to explain that she had to intervene. She had to step in and take necessary measures because people see her as the national minister. And they would complain, villagers would call and complain and say, we have no water. But the provision of the water lay with the municipality. So I think that we're not, honorable member, we're not taking over local government. The constitution provides for us to support local government, but that support comes in the form of the grants and other interventions, but certainly it is not intended that we should do that. Some of the local municipalities are placed under administration. In the Northwest, for example, you've got municipalities under administration, and in that instance, the national department and its entities are supporting. I would like to think that under the leadership of the current DG and the CFOs, that the attainment of an unqualified audit, given the previous record of this department, is a major accomplishment, and they are to be applauded for that. Also, Madam Chair's question was around the delays in procurement and contract management. There is a turnaround strategy. Unfortunately, and the strategy has borne fruit with positive results. The CFOs can talk more about how they've tightened up the procurement and contract management, but as a lawyer myself, I can share that the greatest risk we face in dealing with any of these things is litigation. We cannot predict litigation. We cannot avoid litigation. It's something that we have to deal with. Madam Chair's question was about the service delivery implications and missed targets. It's kind of the National Development Plan sets out its Vision 2030. The department had a National Water Resource Strategy, version 2. That document is a seminal document of the work of this department. It is a document that is probably the only department who has such a document dealing with how we are to protect the water resource. And we are now dealing with implementing that as part of the National Development Plan. In terms of the National Development Plan entities, the National Development Plan called for an establishment of a water resource agency. We are currently in the process of setting up that agency, and also called for an institutional reform and realignment. So that is a critical program, and you can share more information with the committee on the steps that we have made around, progress that we have made around reforming the water institutional landscape. The little towns that have particular problems like Storm River, etc., we will take that up and convey that to our colleagues in the Eastern Cape. There's Amatola Water, there's our regional head, and our produce CMA that can be able to deal with these. But I suspect that these are largely municipal challenges or challenges that the municipality has to deal with. The issue of the department's 9-point plan. Somebody talked about the 9-point plan. In the 9-point plan, this department is a cross-cutting department because we don't identify it as a water standalone contribution to the 9-point plan, but what we have contributed to in terms of planning, infrastructure, regulation is that the department is seen as a cross-cutter. And then we contribute to every aspect of the 9-point plan in terms of supporting transport, transport, communications, all of those things. So in terms of our contribution to the 9-point plan, then the Department of Public, DPME, is quite satisfied with the department's input on in terms of how they are changing the 9-point plan. The one aspect that I want to say, there was a problem dealing, one of the members mentioned that we had not dealt with the payment of the Water Research Commission. That was a matter that we have subsequently addressed, but it was a delay in terms of the project that the WRC did for the department, but the matter subsequently been resolved. And to add to my colleague Randile on the Silibeng Regional Sewer Scheme, this was a very complex matter. I was involved in drafting the implementation protocol because you had a project that was involving all spheres of government, and that project, Randwater, has been delayed because of the litigation, but we'd like to share also with the committee that they have made up time. They're looking at an integrated solution for the whole of the southern Johannesburg and also the major areas and the Sebokeng wastewater treatment works. So I think we can provide a written response on the progress of the Sedibeng sewer scheme. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond on the question in terms of aligning the budget with the spending, it's true what the Chair is saying. What happened with us last year, around December, there was drought that was declared in several provinces. As I indicated, we spent about 502 million of the budget on drought. That was not in our APP, it was something that we hadn't planned for, and as a result, we reprioritized the budget. And some of the projects were affected, and that's why you saw partially achieved on some of the projects, because we had to reprioritize the budget for some of the projects that were slow moving and put it into attending to the drought situation. That was about 500 million. In addition, at the end of 2014-15, we had accruals of 1.6 billion that we requested a rollover of. that was not approved. So also, there was another reprioritization of the budget that was done in 15-16. So effectively, about 2.1 billion of the 15-16 budget was spent on things that were reprioritized, and hence it wouldn't reflect on the APP. And that's where you find that in some cases we had what Mr. Mfugeng was saying, where with the spending, but it wouldn't be aligned with the APP because it was things that we had to attend to as a matter of emergency, especially the drought situation. There was a question on the transfers to universities that was posed to understand what are the transfers. These are transfers that we are making to your water boards. We have your Amthola, Buthelo, Mahali, Redibeng, and Umgeni. There were transfers of about 1 million that were not made to them. These are Schedule 5B transfers. And before we can do the transfer, they need to submit some documents in terms of the DORA Act. And where they have not submitted the documents, then we withhold the funds and we notify Treasury. That's what happened with these transfers to these water boards. They didn't provide the information, hence we could not transfer, otherwise we would have been in contradiction with the DORA Act. They also transfers to the universities, particularly Stellenbosch and Cape Town. The transfers to those universities is mainly for technical, for our engineers. What we do, we use a lot of engineers to usually pay for their bursaries, and then once they've completed their studies, then they're ready to come and join the department, especially because we have a lot of technical things initiatives that we are doing. So we do make fund available for those bursaries. There was a question that was raised on the rollover of 77 million at the end of 15-16 that were not granted by National Treasury. And the question was that are we not taking long to pay the suppliers because we're 77 million at the end of the year. This 77 million was not particularly relating to invoices received that were not paid. It was related to services rendered by the end of the year when an invoice was only received probably around April and May. So in terms of when we are disclosing it, it still forms part of an account because the service was rendered, but we couldn't pay by 31 March. The actual invoice was not yet delivered by the service provider. All we had was a payment certificate. The work had been certified. We're still awaiting the actual invoice from the service provider, which came then around April and May, and it couldn't be paid by 31 March when we were closing the books. There was a question that was posed about the pay progressions to find out that why is this becoming an issue. The pay progressions and the outstanding salary increases, it was on our slides for the first quarter, not for 15-16. Our year ended on 31 March, and that's when we started doing the reviews for the 15-16 financial year. So by the time it was 30 June, a lot of the reviews were not yet completed, and hence the payments were not done by the end of the first quarter, 30 June. But by now, most of the processes are finalized, and you'll see now in the second quarter, we've started being paid on the pay progression. There was a question. The normal performance reviews, the annual performance reviews in terms of the performance contracts of each of the employees. For example, I have a performance contract with my direct supervisor, and then every quarter we get to be evaluated in terms of our performance versus the performance agreement. And it's a normal HR process, and if you've achieved your performance targets as an individual in line with your performance contract, then you can get a pay progression or a bonus payment at the end of the year, if so not. So it wasn't finalized by 30 June, but by now it's been finalized. There was a question that was raised on the transfers. To understand what are the social benefits that we are referring to, those are the retirement benefits, the ones that we are saying were not anticipated. When an employee resigns, we have to pay them their retirement benefits, we also have to pay them their outstanding leave payout. So normally when we are doing the budget, because it's difficult to guess properly when the people will resign, we do make available for the whole year, but we spread it out. But in some cases, like in this case, more people resign in the first quarter, and that's why there was overspending on the first quarter. There was a question that was asked on the overspending, that where are we getting the money from in case we've overspent the budget. This is the reprioritization that we do. We're completing the second quarter now on 3rd September. In preparation for the adjustment budget, we've actually looked at all our projects to see what has been assigned to each of the projects, and then from there, if there's anything like now being dropped, as I mentioned, we've spent about 300 million for drought now in current year that we've manifested as unforeseen, unavoidable formational treasury. So now we've had to reprioritize from some of the projects to make money available for attending to drought. And that's where the reprioritization takes place. And then if the money comes back from national treasury, then we'll be able to reimburse and then continue those projects. So we just slowed down some of the projects to reprioritize whatever is a priority at that point in time. In our case, it's particularly the drought situation that we're reprioritizing. We are reprioritizing. The total that we've estimated that we submitted to National Treasury is about 659 million. So until we get the money from National Treasury, we are using money that was budgeted for other projects on the APP. And that's directly one of the reasons why, when you look at the performance, those lines for performance, in some cases where it's partially achieved, it maybe requires 100 million to complete a particular project, but we've taken 30 million for a drought. Now they are partially achieved until the time that we're able to get the money from National Treasury. Thank you.
Money that Department of National Treasury kept at National Treasury, and people would have to apply and motivate for the release of that money to service your disaster project that you receive. So did you get permission to take money from other programs? Because you see, PMA is very strict. Well, to the environment, which must be approved through your appropriation adjustment. And in your case, you just take money from this program. I don't know. Maybe I did not understand case, but that one is a non-compliance. Serious non-compliance. As a result, I suspect you'll get an adverse opinion from the Auditor General. That thing is not done. Ne? I'm honest, it's not done. Sure, it's very wrong. And then, now the money on pay progression, that money would come from your compensation budget. So you think it comes from somewhere else. Remember, when you're accounting officer, your budget for compensation, and you don't tamper with that money in terms of the PFMA, that's where everything will be budgeted for. Unless if we budgeted, you did not budget for your pay progression, because we all know that in the following year there's pay progression that is going to be implemented. But also that pay progression, am I right, depends on the performance of people. So yay, la, I promise you, I'll be interested to see that their expenditure report at the end of the accounting period by the Auditor General. Yeah. So that's fine. Honourable members, do you have follow-up questions?
That particular issue, I'm still not clear. It's when you say that you get evaluated first quarterly, at the end of the financial year, you are then said to have performed up to an acceptable degree, and therefore you pay, get your bonus, your performance. My question was, if that was delayed, because the assessment wasn't, I don't quite get it because it was not completed. And it's only in the first quarter now that that is completed. If you could clarify that. Unless you are saying, now you have been assessed for the first quarter, April to June, and I don't know what happens, whether, but I hear you get paid at the head of the financial. Because the implication would be that if, for instance, you have been assessed progressively, and then at the end of the 15-16 financial year, you were found to have performed, and of course you had the money was budgeted for you, it was there, so you get paid. It could be delayed. The payment could be delayed. The question I'm asking, is that money still belonging to the 15-15 paid out in May, June, or is it falling into the new financial year? And that's where I didn't quite get it.
It should come from the new financial year.
So you get paid into the new financial year, the assessment having been completed for 15-15, is that the understanding?
Oh,
I see people nodding.
Okay. On that particular slide, we had noticed, we had shown that the compensation of employees for the first quarter, we had budgeted about 390 million to spend, but we only spent about 351 million. So there was an underspending in the first quarter, not on the fourth quarter, because the money was budgeted for in the first quarter. So that variance, 38 million being the underspending, is money that we put aside for the pay progressions and the bonuses. So had it been done on the first quarter, we wouldn't have had an underspending. But because it hasn't been done now, it was not finalized by 30 June, it's only finalized now. It normally takes around 3 months before the whole process is done. So it's 30 June ended now, so 20 is going to be paid now on the second quarter. So it's money that will be paid now on the second quarter, not on the first quarter.
We are not talking about this for the 15-16, we are talking 16-17. Okay, now I get it.
Thanks, Chair.
I think I should clarify the issue of the environment and the shifting. That we, as a department, we don't really move funds from one program to the other. No, we don't do that. It's not allowed. We can't even do it. But what we do during assessments. There are two periods. We do it mid-year as well as the end of the financial year. So I just want to clarify that no, it's not, we just take money from one program to the other at any given time. So the reprioritization is we do our own introspection in terms of the project that we have as a department. As my colleagues did indicate, that some projects to find that we have litigations and funds are allocated per financial year. So looking at the case when it's breaking, then we reprioritize some of the funds in that project to fund the hard pressing or where we have pressure elsewhere. But if I can add on what my colleague said about Umzimvu, Umzimvu is one of the projects that is a high priority at the moment. Just that most of the work is going behind the scenes. If I may share with the committee, right now we have secured the land for the project. There are a lot of stakeholder meetings that are taking place with the local authorities, the traditional leadership, the provincial government, the feasibility studies, and some of the Ndabelana Dam is completed. The Lalini Dam is about 85% complete. So we are on track in making sure that before the end of this financial year, the work starts in that area, like the clearing of the access roads and building of the staff houses and so forth. So that work is underway. But lastly, in terms of the procurement, we are taking this close in terms of looking at our implementing agents, being a water board and the municipalities. For the first time, we, in the department, the CFO in the department, holds
regular meetings with the CFOs of these entities, being your water board and municipalities. And also in their procurement processes, we also make sure that we deploy specialists, procurement specialists in those settings to make sure that we sit there and observe to make sure that the process is run smooth. Not as much as we transfer money or funds to these municipalities. Whatever irregularity happens there, the funds are still accounted in our books. So we have to make sure that the process, they have proper systems in place to run the procurement process. So, you say we will give an adverse report. I hope that doesn't happen.
It shouldn't.
No, it usually happens.
We will account for that if it happens.
No, no.
You have to make sure that you prevent, you've got your fraud prevention strategies in place.
Definitely.
And all those things.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, that person. No, unfortunately, being a custodian of water, the question of intervening in municipalities will always happen, because if you take a place like Kroonstad, where suddenly the dam just dried up, as a department of water, we have to design means and ways to make sure that water, being a human rights issue, people do have access to water. So we have to make sure that whatever means, people do have water. So we have a lot of those municipalities, about 94 municipalities. Most of them where there are no economic activities in those municipalities. So we have to make sure that the indigenous communities do get water. Thank you.
Other follow-up questions? Honorable Dr. Madope, honorable member Shoppers Foley.
No, thanks for the responses to the delegation. I'm not saying because they were at Utunguru where we had a challenge of a drought and they assisted us. I want to check, does the department have the plan to assist the Umkhanya Ude communities, especially because there is Shozini Dam all the time, it becomes a problem. I know that Utunguru, as you correctly indicated, you did come and assist, because especially in Lala's municipality, it was dried up, and then the intervention that you came up with the department assisted, but we are worried about Shozini. The dam is nearby, but they don't have water.
Honorable member Shoppers Foley.
Thank you, Dr. Sen. When I am just worried about this litigation, because really, I think these people are frustrating the department. I wish we could know more about them. Who are these people? What is happening? Things like that. Because you find that the people doing that, they don't even stay in that area. Where they are, there is water and storage and everything, and they go to these rural places and just put a plug on progress. It's worrying. That is one. Two, I don't know your name, sir. You, Mr. Singh. Mr. Singh, I think you were trying to apologize about your involvement in the municipality and saying that you had to go. You are not wrong. I just can't remember what section it is. In the Municipal Finance Management Act, there is a section that all upper spheres have got a responsibility to assist municipalities. It's a requirement. It's a requirement by the law of this country. All upper spheres have got that responsibility. And there is also a section in the Constitution, Chapter 3, I think, that all spheres shall execute their business in a manner that does not divide the Republic of South Africa. We are one unitary state. If there is a problem in climate, you are required to go and attend to that problem. If there is a problem in Mwanito, where I come from, it's your responsibility to be there. Because in the Mwanito, it's only a social network. There's no department of water there. So I am saying that you don't have to apologize. You have to be in the municipality. But lastly, because this is the standing committee on appropriation, we appropriate money
resources. And if the money was given to yourselves as Water Affairs, when it is misappropriated, we are not going to worry about the municipality. You can't come and tell us that no, it's because we transferred it. We will hold you to account. And let me tell you, I was just thinking of something in my mind. You know, one of the meetings that I attended, conference in APEC, there were people from Uganda, and they were saying that in their country, when they see it, they usually call the police and put the van ready for and say debrief the committee. If they think monies have not been accounted for, there will be no time for you to call the municipality, because immediately the committee will instruct the DG to get into the van. So you must just be careful that we don't think about copying those.
Is someone asked who wants to speak this side? No. Any responses from your side? Yes.
I just respond on Umkanyabuti. I think if you look just at the list of projects that are priority on my team right now, it's a very sad one of Umkanyabuti. But it's not only Umkanyabuti. It cuts across three district municipalities. It's Zululand, it's Umkanyabuti, Utsungulu. We are looking at recirculating the whole area that was originally planned to be recirculated through Pomola Dam. And we are looking at this pipeline which cuts across Utsungulu district municipality. We are working together with Umhlanhluze Water Board on that matter. We have just issued a directive. We have got a business plan that has already approved, a 7 billion business plan. Unfortunately, the challenge that we are facing, that we would like to complete the project within 3 years, and we have got very limited funding. We are currently busy with Umhlanhluze looking at how can we use also their balance sheet together with the funds flowing from the fiscal to eradicate that backlog amounting to about 7 billion within the next 3 years. We should be in a position perhaps in the next month to come out with a plan on how we are going to deal with it. We are already engaging at a very high level. We can approach this plan to get those funds. Thanks.
Any further responses?
You know, I would be scared to close the meeting while the chairperson is not here. Otherwise, it looks like we have exhausted the issues that we plan to deal with. I must say that... Honourable Chairperson?
Yes, they talked about a document that they have. Is it possible for them to let us have that document?
Okay. Honourable Chairperson, which document is that so that it can be handed over to
it was the document in relation to the chairperson's question about the NDP, and we have a document that shows the extent to which we are buying the NDP in terms of the National Water Resource Strategy and in terms of the reform of the institutions. So I think we can provide that particular document in response to the service delivery implications on the NDP.
All right. The Secretariat will communicate with you as soon as we finish this meeting. Now, I must say this, that the officials from the department certainly appreciate the sentiment of the committee and understand why this sentiment has been raised.
largely because we would want this department to perform. And we are glad to hear now that you are getting there. It's a slightly different story from what we had last year. Sounds better. I must say that it probably does sound better. At the beginning of the meeting, we didn't quite get to appreciate that you have moved to a degree. But you will appreciate because water is such an important national resource. In the face of a terrible drought, but we also are keen to know, should there be rains, how ready are we to harvest that water? Remember, and you know this because you are in the department, there are various ways of harvesting water. It's rainwater, it's underground water, it's all sorts of all of it. We now are under pressure because there is no guarantee. If it rains this season, as some say, some experts say, I read a report yesterday, which suggests that this year is going to be a rain year, how prepared are we to harvest that water and store it? Trust that if drought is visited upon us again in 3-5 years, we are able to breathe and say at least we have sufficient water at our disposal. So that's why we are speaking like we do. But also we speak like we do because we know, as well as you do, the areas that still don't have clean running water 21 years after democracy. And we know that you are working under pressure because the situation we are in, all of us in the country, all 55 million of us, was inherited from a system that deprived other communities, large, huge communities, from getting this clean water. And so when we speak the way we do, you must not receive it as us being critical and insensitive to you. We are trying to say to you, see this issue of water the way we see it and the way we feel it, because it's a national issue that needs urgent attention. And when there is budget attached to the programs, to the projects, to infrastructure relating to water, those budgets have got to be spent and spent properly. And that's why I started by saying we cannot go to sleep a bit less because we see there has been movement between last year and now. And we're happy to hear that you have already noted. We still wait to see. You said you had 670 projects. We wait to see those projects being finished in accordance with your time frames, and where you can achieve those target area, as you say, overachieving. That would be appreciated. That would be appreciated because, as we say, it's a matter that it's a life and death issue, the question of water. So appreciate what we are saying to you, and I always say this, that this committee will point at the weaknesses of departments, not because we want to run it down, but because we are saying, can we think together and then find a solution so that the country can move forward? That's the sentiment that we are trying to express to you. So, at the risk of staging a coup, let me adjourn this meeting and indicate that one of the members we have little we should release and say again. Indicate that we still have I think two or three sets of minutes to pass, and I am advised and my advice that we don't have a quorum to do so. So let me, on behalf of the chairperson, adjourn the meeting. I will sit there and wait for him. So that I can be absorbed.